Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 8th day of September 2018. We call this Satsang. Hopefully it's of great service to you. And what I like to do is take your questions that some of you write to me. I'm very grateful for the generosity of my listeners who always seem to have some questions about whatever it is I'm teaching or their life or something that's pertinent to them, and I'm humbly grateful. Anyway, we will be talking about the things I ask of my students or people in general. We'll see. I want to remind you that these radio programs are all here because of you, because of your kind and loving support. It is only because of your tax-deductible gifts that I am able to be here on radio and to be able to serve you in the way I do. And we need, more people to help us. It's a real stress. So if you are a person who enjoys this radio program, the work that I share with you, I hope you'll consider being a sponsor and maybe open up your heart a little bit. If you go to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G, you even go down to the first page, it will say why support Aspire and how to become a donor and all of the lovely things you get for being a donor. My message of the month, my commentaries, podcasts, video casts that I've done over the past 5 to 10 years here on Aspire. All of that is there for you, plus all of the discourses that I offered for my TV programs. When I make TV programs, I make 8 different discourses on the subject of my TV programs, and they're all there and available for you as my way of thanking you. And you can download them, do whatever you like. They're yours to keep. So I hope you will become a sponsor. Go take a look at aspire.org. It's right there on the front page. Down at the bottom, you'll find it. It's real easy. What I ask, oh my goodness, I get a lot of questions about many different subjects, but one of them is this. I just am astonished. I have to say, I need to say this right off the bat. I was not prepared mentally or emotionally for the deterioration of what I see in our society today of people, their lack of interest in anything that is, shall we say, spiritual, really honest, authentic, spiritually inclined. And there are not many people. So you have to understand that to be of this kind of caliber of person, this kind of elk, you've got to be different. You've got to be someone who sees the bigger picture. And the problem with most of us is we don't see that bigger picture in general. So here are some of the questions I get from people. I chose 3. They're pointy little things, but they're important, and I think they should be talked about. First one comes from Les in Florida. Les asks, it seems to me, Greg, that you ask a great deal of people who are in a practice and try to keep a practice. It seems that you take up a lot of time and effort and money. Who has all these things to put towards something that doesn't seem very tangible? Les. Less to you, I seem probably very odd, probably like a snake salesman, you know, a snake oil salesman. I'm sure that you see me in that light. And I understand, I do. A spiritual practice, there are many different forms, okay, Les? There are many, many different forms. But the authentic ones, the authentic spiritual practice asks a person for their totality. And that's just the way it is because it takes that kind of effort to get into it. It takes a total effort. There were many times when I was teaching formally less, where I was doing what I call my formal teaching, my Sunday gig, where I had to sit down and really have serious, serious talks with myself about what I was doing. It is very easy, Les, for any person to stand before an audience and take advantage of them. If you only teach the things they can understand, you will only talk about money and wealth and stuff, and that's it. And you can give them all sorts of, I don't know, reasons to be spiritual or to be in a practice, but they won't get it because that's not what they're geared for. They're geared out of their DNA and their genetics. The DNA says, you know, you have to work hard to stay alive, and the genetics are there, so to speak, to interpret that DNA and how you're going to stay alive and do well. So many times I would be in my office before I would go on stage and sit there and ask myself, what are you doing? Are you going to go out there and placate them? Are you going to go out there and tell them things that aren't true, like there's great hope for you and one day you're going to be happy, one day you're going to rub that that lantern just the right way and the genie's going to pop out? Is that what you're going to do? I went to India. I struggled with many different things when I was there. I struggled with Gregory a great deal. He is the culprit of all of my issues in this world. So I understand what you're saying, Les. I do. This whole spiritual life does not fit well into the American scene. It just doesn't. It doesn't work well in Western culture. And that is just the honest truth. There are so many distractions here. There are so many different kinds of values and different kinds of things that we think are important that it just doesn't seem right to do a spiritual practice, an authentic one, but that's the way it is. I don't make up the spiritual practice. I'm just sharing with you what works. It does take up a lot of your time. And if you want to look at it from the point of view of taking up your time, then you can look at it from that point of view. But you have wasted most of your many, many lives here on earth with frivolous things, I'm sure, whether it be entertainment or sports or whatever. It doesn't matter. Hate is probably the biggest one that we waste our time on. And we will spend exorbitant amounts of money on objects and things that give us a supposed prestige for our hubris and live by that hubris forever, never questioning the pride that we would have to drive maybe a Ferrari or have a big home on the hill or have lots of money to do whatever we want. We don't see that as a waste of time. I know many, many people who are very poor, very, very poor, who have a ton of money, a ton, and they do not share it. They don't know how to live with it. It is their cancer. Truly, it is their cancer. So whatever it is I'm asking of you, whether it be, you know, you come to a workshop or you become a sponsor or you come to a retreat or you make a donation, whatever it is that I'm asking, these are kind of forms of, I'm going to say the word, penance for the crazy lifetimes we have lived where we have been ruthlessly unkind. There is everything in your logic and reasoning not to give, not to love, not to practice, not to sustain a spiritual practice. I understand an authentic spiritual practice changes your whole life. It forces our attention to go from the outside to the inside. And that is just not something we want to do. I get it. Les, I truly do. But if I'm going to stand there and talk to you, I don't want to waste your time saying things to you that only placate you and make you feel like, well, if you just give us one-tenth of your attention and your time, then you can be this or that. I have no promises to make you about a spiritual practice. I have none. I mean, I can sit here until I'm blue in the face talking to you about the benefits of an authentic spiritual practice, but those benefits wouldn't mean a single thing to you. Because you're looking for something that is going to give you more, more, more. And I am trying to show you that it is only in the less that you find the real more. You want more things in the world. I'm going to try to show you that what you seek in the world is a compensation for what you don't have within you. And what I'm trying to share with you is you do have it. You just need to awaken to it. And it takes a lot of effort. The minutiae of the human body, the human brain, the human experience is immense. It is absolutely immense. And after a large portion of a lifetime lived in that immensity, you got no gas in the tank. You got no horsepower. You have to see the bigger picture. Buddha talked about it. Jesus talked about it. Lao Tzu talked about it. Krishna talked about it. All great masters do. They see the bigger picture. So, if you want bang for your buck, there are plenty of ministers and churches that you can go to that will give you all that, promise you everything. That's snake oil. But if you want to work upon yourself, if you want to make this lifetime a meaningful one, one that matters in your life, then I'm your guy. And I'm not your guy because you're not there yet. You need a lot more stuff to happen, whatever that's going to be, to take away this veneer you have that is about, well, what do I get for what I give? Life is what happens to us from the point of view of what we give. It is the result of our giving. So when you think life has been good or life has been bad, take a look. It isn't life. We are subject to ourselves, and anything that happens is a matter of what happens within. This takes a long time to sink in to most people. I hope that helps you less. I'm sure it didn't, but please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Chris. He does not tell me where he or she lives. How do I keep my practice when my wife, wants me to do other things with our time and our money, Chris? I don't know how strong the pull is in you. I really don't. I have faced this all during my career. And I've had all sorts of students with men coming in with their wives. It typically doesn't work very well. Because it's usually the woman, I'll be honest with you. She wants to go travel and she wants to go drink and she wants to go party and she wants to go see the world and all of that. And the male is starting maybe to look at things from another point of view ever so slightly. He might be looking at it going, I don't know what the meaning of my life is. Maybe he wants to know. But, you know, happy life, happy wife. So he will generally go and do exactly what she wants or try to placate her in some way. And typically that leads to all sorts of personal self-destructions in both the couple, because they're split. And usually one has an obsession while the other one is trying to break away from that obsession. I don't know how long it usually takes for people to wake up in a marriage, usually about 4 to 5 years, maybe even sooner now with the way things are, but it gets pretty hairy as you and I stay with these people and they start to quote-unquote let their hair down and you begin to really see what's behind the veneer. But nonetheless, and of course less than none, here we are with people that we are with, and we're sitting there wondering, what are we doing with this person, and what do you choose? Chris, I can't tell you what to do except one thing, and this is really important. This woman is your karma. This woman is there as the form of your resistance to yourself. So that's what she's all about. And if you really are serious about this question, really serious, then you will follow your heart and you will do whatever your authentic heart tells you, not your human heart. Your human heart will be filled with what I call, and I tell the group this, all men have it, including me, man, disease. We have man disease. And man disease is that we are deeply, as the term goes, codependent upon the women we are with. If you have sex with us and feed us, that's about all you need. That's about it. If you are good in bed and you're a good cook, you've got almost any man you want. And most men don't even know what's happening. And those that do don't want to admit that they know what's happening. They also like repetitive routine. So if a man's with a woman and there's this comfortable kind of home life routine, they're not going to want to break away from that because it's so much of a hassle to go get an attorney and find a place to live and go through all the hassle and the fight. You know what a bitch she's going to be. You just know it. And you know you're going to be, you know, sitting there living under a tree when it's all over while she gets everything, including the dog. So you you understand the fight. So you sit there and you weigh it. And you think to yourself, do I want to go live under a tree and have nothing and live my whole life paying her off? Or do I just want to just skip this spiritual stuff and move on to going to Las Vegas and drinking and partying and having a good time? This is the dilemma you have. And I understand it. I do. I have been divorced 3 times. I know what this is. And then it took me, only in the third time did I really understand what the hell I was doing to myself. I understood it. So, for 18 years, I have lived happy. I am literally making this radio program at 2:30 a.m. I can get up at 2:30 a.m. and I can do my radio programs. I've got discourses to do today. I don't have anybody to answer to. I don't have to be there to do the things that are important to my authentic heart. So again, Chris, it comes down to your authentic heart. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, and I have men in the group whose wives are no longer here on the planet. They have passed on. They will all tell you they are much happier people because they're free to do their practice, and that's exactly what they do. They meditate. They work on themselves. They come and see me each week. They listen to the discourses. They work on themselves. They realize what happened to them. They got involved in their emotionality, which got them involved with another person that had the same kind of emotionality, and it started a cycle inside of them that was the minutiae of their entire life, and they realize it, and they don't want to do that ever again. But you see, in the DNA of all of us, there is this coupling thing, this deal of finding a mate and then having sex and then making babies and having responsibility with all of that. I understand your dilemma completely. I do. But you have to decide how much your life is worth. And for those men who have women who go along with them on the spiritual practice, you are very blessed. Because to have a woman that is with you in a spiritual practice is a huge plus. The energy that can be cultivated between the two of you, oh, that is incredible. But very few people do that. For most people, religion is opinion. I'm not teaching religion here. I am teaching an authentic spiritual practice. It does require a great deal of time and effort, focus. Your whole attention has to be centered around it, not around the idea of who gets to do what and when. Our country is falling apart at many levels, but it all began way, way back in the spiritual level when we walked away from our heart and didn't find the way of our heart. That's all I have to say on the subject, but thank you, Chris. Wow, you're a brave guy. I hope your wife doesn't hear this, and please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Howard. He does not tell me where he lives. How do we make room for a practice in a life that is absolutely got no room for a practice? Howard. Thank you, Howard. This is a beautiful question, and I understand it. You make room. People will say to me, there's not enough time in the day. Yes, there is. Get up early, like me. Get up early and meditate. Get up early and practice. Work on yourself. Have consideration for the manner of your life. Care for your life. You get up early. You make little room here, a little room there. You make this happen. You don't let your life slip away, because most people let their lives slip away to oblivion and they don't care. They'll hang out with people that aren't healthy for them. They'll eat food that isn't good for them. They'll watch movies that deteriorate their mind and bring them down to their genetic and DNA factor of just hate and fear and survival. Don't squander your life. The only sin in life is to miss this entire experience because you're too bored to go through your life. Make room for your life. Be wise with everything you do. Practice. My meditations that I offer, they're a half hour. A half hour at best. These are really geared down meditations because when I was learning these meditations, they were an hour, hour and a half. But I've pared them down for Western mentality. Pretty soon it'll be 15 minutes is all that can happen, like TM did. Only 15 minutes, he was very smart. The Maharishi was smart. He knew there wasn't going to be that kind of attention span in the West. Oh, you can do it in 15 minutes. No, you can't. It takes more than 15 minutes. You got to learn how to carry your meditation into your day, into your life. You can't just do 15 minutes, but that's what people do. Oh, you can do it twice a day. Well, 15 minutes in the beginning, I guess, is a good start, but it's got to get bigger. And then it's got to expand to how you live your life, the way you live your life. How you touch everything is how anything and everything touches you. You've got to learn things that your ego isn't going to want to learn and isn't going to want to think about. So you have to make room. That's part of the practice. Howard, you've got to want love more than wanting what you think will give you love. And that's a very important aspect of a person's life, to want love more than wanting what you think will give you love. To understand all of this, you have to have this deep, burning pull inside of you to do those things that make love possible. That's all I can say to you. And it'll probably take hundreds of lifetimes for you to really understand and appreciate what I just boiled down to in 4 minutes. And I got to go. And I love you dearly. And thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here on time. I want to thank you for listening. Become a sponsor. Help us. We have our year-end donations that are happening now. They're very, very important. Our mystery donor will match your gift. So if you make a donation, if you become a sponsor, it will be matched, and that will help us greatly. Have a beautiful day. See you tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.